listening to this podcast right now. Do you want to hear a fucking podcast about anything and everything?
Yeah.
Like movies, music, television, and more?
Oh my God.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Yes.
Subscribe to Journey Into Comics Network, and you get Podcastrophy, hosted by me,
yes.
Dick. Why not throw a couple bucks to the Patreon? It's your choice. Yeah. This is a Podcastrophy.
That sounds so awesome.
The following is a Journey Into Comics Network production.
This is a tasty burger. You ever tried shawarma? Huh? There's a shawarma joint about two blocks from here. I don't know what it is, but I want to try it.
Do you want some coffee, Mr. Tully?
Do I?
Yes, have some.
Yes, have some.
Is butter a carb?
Will you stop eating?
We elves try to stick to the four main food groups. Candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of Foodies Watching Movies. I'm your host, Nate. Today, joining me, as always, my favorite foodie co-host, Veronica. How's it going?
It's going good. How about you?
It's really good. I'm very, very, very full.
Of cheese. We had lots of cheese today.
Various kinds of cheeses in various different forms.
Yes.
Joining us today, back again, she didn't run after the first time. Yeah. Lauren, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
We officially made you a co-host.
Yes, you did.
So now you get to enjoy all this crazy shit that we do
yes.
in podcasting.
And eat lots of delicious food.
Yeah. We should just like really get right into the food of it all today.
Well, we did just eat a lot of it. So Man. Let's talk about it while it's still weighing us down.
While it's still hot.
Yeah. Okay, good one.
See, that's a food reference there, right?
There you go, Nate. You did it.
Okay. So, first of all, I just want to say that today it's all about cheese. I mean, it's so much cheese that...
Yeah, it's pretty much one of the only things that
we eat. Protein, just a lot of, like,
Yeah. So, fat. We made... Lauren made her grandma's mac and cheese.
Yes, only with a variation. I use almond milk instead of regular milk.
So,
right.
So what is the process of making? Because I didn't really watch over your shoulder, but I'm guessing it was...
Honestly, my grandma who first made it for me growing up, she used to make it with elbow macaroni noodles, and then she used to put, like, condensed milk, and I feel like she put, like, shredded American cheese in there.
Okay.
And she would classic use, grandma mac
yeah.
and cheese.
And then my other grandma, my actual, because this woman wasn't actually my grandma. I just called her my grandma because she like babysat me growing up. She babysat me and all my sisters.
Aww.
And I feel like my mom might have been babysat by her maybe when she was even pretty young, like maybe in her teenage years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then my actual grandma used to make it with just elbow macaroni noodles and then just American cheese and milk. And then she'd usually make it and she'd microwave it again with like slices of American cheese on top, just shred it up with her fingers.
Oh, that's old school.
Yeah.
That's super old school. I make my mac and cheese a little bit differently. I make it the way my mom taught me how to make it for when we cook it on Thanksgiving. So it's for a large group of people. And
you are Italian.
Well, yeah, I'm Italian, so we always make way too much of everything, and it's always delicious. But anyway, so she taught me to make it with Velveeta, of all things. You like chop up a block of Velveeta and cube it and put it in a big pot with like multiple cups of heavy cream and
I feel like you
other
were explaining this
cheeses.
To me earlier as we were making my mac and cheese.
I was, yeah, because I was thinking about how long it takes me to make it and how much simpler this recipe was. Because I have to put so much shit in this mac and cheese. Because you have to put in, like, Dijon mustard and onion, like, dried onions, and salt and pepper and garlic and Worcestershire.
I just learned something today.
What?
That Italians cook with the same thing. Like, you put Worcestershire and Dijon and all that stuff in the sandwiches we made today.
Well, I don't think that's an Italian thing. I think that's just like my mother's thing. Recipe thing. Yeah.
That's
because we also made, I told Nate how to make these ham and cheese sliders that everybody loves on the little Hawaiian buns. And you just put like a layer of mayo on the buns and then ham and your choice of cheese. What did you pick, Nate?
Oh, I went with two of my favorite cheeses of all times. And I want to know your guys' favorite cheeses. But I went with provolone, which is a classic. Everybody likes provolone. It's a basic cheese. But Havarti is my go-to.
Yeah, yeah.
Havarti and Gouda are my top two all time.
And we had those cheeses today because Lauren put the Gouda and Monterey Jack in.
Monterey Jack and cheddar.
Cheddar. In the mac and cheese. And that was good. And then we thought that since there was so much left over, we thought how rad it would be to like separate it and put it in little balls and freeze it in the freezer and then deep fry it the next day.
Hashtag spoiler alert, probably the next foodies. We're going to probably talk about that a little bit.
Okay, yeah, that'll be the leftovers. That'll be what we'll
call
it.
That's a great segment. Oh my
that'll
God,
that'll be our that segment, awesome. The leftovers.
Yeah, okay. Well, what's your favorite cheeses?
I like Colby just because growing up, my dad used to always take me to Strax and he'd always get like a block of Colby cheese.
Yes.
And he'd just cut it up for me and just like give it to me.
Like as your snack.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I really like Colby cheese. Honestly, this was kind of like my first real experience with Gouda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, it was very good. I liked it.
It was very good.
Oh my God, we're the biggest dorks.
Well, that, we are foodies watching movies, so.
How do people stand us? We're just too precious.
Yeah, a little bit. What are your favorite cheeses, V? You didn't answer. You're not getting away from this one.
I like a lot of different cheeses. I guess my like favorite classic cheese would be American cheese. I love that on sandwiches. And my grilled cheeses. I eat a lot of grilled cheeses. Yeah, that. And I also really like... I really like brie. Like, I like going to Whole Foods and getting, like, a little block of
there's this amazing cream. Cheese that they have at Whole Foods. It's, like, cheese that they, like... It's, like, meltable or whatever. So, like, they, like, put it on a pan... And they, like, make, like, little plates. Like, kind of, like, little flat discs. And they, like, bake it. And it's really, really good. I don't know what it's called, but it's amazing. I had it the last two times I went to wine and cheese night at Whole Foods on Tuesday.
Hey, yeah, you know, actually, I saw you on Facebook. You made a status or two about that, and I wanted to know. We are all about cheese. So, like, how is wine and cheese day? Is that what they call it?
Cheese night.
Oh, night at Whole Foods.
It's classier than day, Nate.
Okay, well, I don't know the goddamn difference. I'm just riffing here.
Everybody's losing their minds because we have a Whole Foods for the first time in our town. So
I feel like the next one is this Tuesday.
So what's it like? Sweet. Is it free tastings and stuff?
It's $5 for a ticket and you get samples of all the different cheeses that they have.
Oh my God.
Not all the different cheeses. I mean, they do like themes and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I liked all the cheeses that they had at the last one, but, with each ticket you get wine as well. And then on Tuesday nights it's half off wine glasses. So like a normal $6 glass wine is only like $3.
Whoa.
That's nice.
Or maybe or it might be just $3 all around, like on all different wines.
Whoa. Well, we're gonna have to go and find out, won't we?
Yeah, we'll have to have our own
that
foodies
sounds
experience.
Fantastic. Because the last time I went to Whole Foods I bought a triple cream brie and then I left it in my car like a dumbass and it got totally ruined and I was so disappointed.
I remember that. I like, we haven't had
the
brie
one
since.
Time I was spending $9 on cheese for myself because I wanted it and I couldn't have it. I sabotaged myself. It was the worst.
I was gonna say with cheeses, like, because I don't want to get away from this right now because I'm like fixated on what we just had. My body is like melting. I feel like I might become Pizza the Hut before this is all done. I just fully morph into a giant pizza, even though we didn't eat pizza.
No.
Just all the cheese running through my veins is going to turn me into that. But like with your cheeses, do you like something that's got a little bit more of a sharp bite or do you like some of smooth, buttery cheeses?
I
where's
like the
your,
mellow ones.
You
like
mellow,
the mellow
stuff?
Creamy okay. cheeses. Like I like a triple cream brie and I like to have it with... some kind of spread like fig or apricot or like cranberry chutney is really good on it too.
It's weird because I didn't like brie before like we all started having brie together and it's because I didn't know you're supposed to most likely always put something like sweet on it and really like let the flavors.
You don't have to, but yeah, but it's good with something sweet.
Yeah.
And you can do it with savory stuff too, like brie and turkey and like a little bit of cranberry is really good.
Oh, with the cranberry at the end. Yeah. That sounded
so you got to have kind of, you got to do the sweet. And then also keep in mind that you can bake it and top it. Like one, I don't remember when it was, but I went to a holiday party or something and I brought a baked brie that I had baked inside of crescent dough, like the crescent roll dough. You just wrap it around the brie and throw it in the oven and then put the whatever kind of topping you want on top. And it was delicious.
Damn. So what about you, Lauren? Sharp, buttery?
Honestly, my favorite cheese ever is like this Bella Vitano espresso cheese.
Ooh.
It's really, really good.
Fancy.
Okay.
I first had it when I lived out in Seattle. My mom would always get it whenever she went out to the supermarket because they always had it wherever she went. Because
oh my God. Can we just take a minute to talk about Seattle cheese? I went to Seattle in May and they had this huge cheese festival going on. And it was all like in Pike's Place and like the market or whatever, the fish market.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like hundreds and hundreds of different kinds of cheeses. I was in heaven. It was so good.
Yeah, they have a lot. I feel like they
still
a lot.
Do that?
Probably, yeah.
Because it was a few years ago that I went.
I feel like for whatever reason out there, they just have better access to like different kinds of cheeses from like different countries because Bella Vitano is an Italian cheese company.
Oh.
And for whatever reason, whenever I go to Whole Foods and I request Bella Vitano espresso cheese, they always say that, okay, come back in like a week or so. And I always do. And they're like, oh no, we didn't get it in.
Jerks.
And I'm like, well, then don't tell me that you can special order it if you can't get it. And then just have me keep coming back like every two weeks to see if you guys have it. And I just don't know if it's just because it's so difficult for them to get that.
I don't know. Maybe you should call and ask a manager politely. Like, just ask them, are you guys going to place an order for
me? I sound like such a cheese snob right now.
Hey, you know, there's a place in Valparaiso called Old World Market. It's right on the square, and they have, it's all cheeses and wine. And you could probably order something through them.
Well, you could call them, and they'd probably tell you if they would order it or not.
Yeah, because they have delicious cheese there. They have, that was the first place that I was able to buy, like, the brie that I like. It was the triple cream brie. It was at Old World Market.
Where is that out in Valpo?
It's out in Valpo, right on the square, on the south, southwest side of the square. By Figure Eight Brewery.
So we're talking, you guys have been to Seattle with fantastic cheese. I have never been to Seattle, but
I really like Seattle.
I've been to Wisconsin, and I went to Mars Cheese Castle. And
you love rubbing that in my face.
The Mecca. It's the Mecca. It has hot sauces. It has specialty beers. And any cheese in the place, you can taste before you buy it.
Didn't you say you got like a chocolate cheese or something?
Oh, wait. I got a chocolate fudge that was made with Havarti.
Chocolate fudge cheese?
It was chocolate fudge Havarti, and it was the greatest fudge I've ever had in my life. Bare none.
See, that doesn't sound good to me, and I like weird shit.
You wouldn't think so, but when you, that's the weird thing. I'm going through the line, I'm trying all these different cheeses and stuff, and that was fucking delicious. Ugh. They had one that was fucking buffalo sauce cheese. It was not good. It was
that sounds
not.
Gross.
I shouldn't have tried it, but whatever. Live dangerously. So I get to the like the dessert
buffalo
kind of
cheese sauce or buffalo sauce cheese?
No, like buffalo sauce cheese.
So it was cheese
like it
that
was like
kind tasted like buffalo sauce?
Yeah, like what
it
you would put
like
on a wing.
It wasn't like a cheesy sauce
no,
with buffalo in it.
No.
Was that what you were asking?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
It was like a essentially a string cheese. Holy shit, we should probably turn the air off. I didn't realize that was on. That's going to be
I'm on it.
Really loud. You're going to do it? Okay, great. So I get to the, we're at Mars Cheese Castle, and I get to the section of like, they do have like cheesecakes and stuff. And I'm like, man, I love Havarti. I just said it out loud for some reason. And the guy behind the counter is like, you like Havarti, huh? Try this. And he's like, here. And I was like, is this chocolate? And he goes, yeah, it's made with Havarti. I took one bite, and I immediately was like, half a pound right now. Like, sold. No questions. I ate it for probably like 2 weeks. Because it was just, it was amazing. But it was so dense that you couldn't have
like a little bit, more than like a tiny bit each
yes,
day.
Yes, because a little bit goes a really long way with Havarti cheese fudge.
That sounds really so gross weird. To me.
I prom. We'll go there, and I promise you, you'll love it. I hope they still have it. I'm sure they will.
We drove past it on the way home from a gig not that long ago.
In Milwaukee.
What's it called? Yeah. Moore's Cheese Castle.
Mars.
Yeah.
Mars Cheese Castle.
Yeah, it's actually a castle.
It's castle with cheese.
Is it a castle made of cheese?
It's like the fairy tale.
No, it's just a castle. I wish it was a castle made of different cheeses, like just stuck on the wall. Just like, oh, then it's all melty and runny. It's like, oh.
Ew.
It's like, it would kind of have probably the consistency of the mac and cheese. It was super, like, stringy. Oh,
yeah,
that
we
was
took
the
some funny pictures of that mac and cheese we made tonight. Because it was, like, the cheese was, like, a mile long, lifting your fork up from the plate.
A mile is a beautiful exaggeration because I think our ceilings are only like 11 feet high, but
well, I'd like to paint you all a picture. You know,
but she's not wrong. It is taller than Veronica. I mean, that's a pretty it's way up there.
And then we had amazing cheesecake that Lauren brought.
That was
brought.
A short joke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unintentionally. It wasn't. I wasn't trying to. That was rude. Oops.
Rude. Anyway, I was talking about cheesecake.
No, we got to talk about this cheesecake because it's sourced from a place I was not expecting, and it was dope. So all these,
we still have two half-eaten slices.
You guys
here.
Are so smart. No. You brought it in here.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
I knew I was gonna want like a snack halfway through because that cheesecake was too delicious to just leave. I couldn't leave it behind. I would regret it.
Yeah, you're having like cheesecake regrets.
Yeah, it was really good. Lauren picked it up from Aldi, and I was very happy with the result of the flavors. They had the caramel turtle cheesecake. Oh, it was like the sampler, so there was chocolate chip and strawberry, and then just New York style.
The caramel turtle, definitely my favorite. It was like I took the first bite and it reminded me of Christmas, like that Christmas cheesecake you have with pecans or something,
mm-hmm.
or you know, just a pecan pie or something.
The caramel was really good.
The caramel, oh, it was so good, and the little chocolate chippies was, and it had like an Oreo crust.
Yeah, something
like that. But yeah, I'm like, so whatever that is, the chocolate crust. Yeah.
The chocolate cheesecake I thought tasted a little bit too much like chocolate mousse or like a chocolate cream pie.
It was better with a sprinkle of sea salt.
Which of us had the one raspberry slice or the...
I had the strawberry one.
Okay.
I thought it was really good. It was my favorite.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like I wanted to cut up a fresh strawberry and put it on top of it, but because I just wanted more of the strawberry. There wasn't enough.
The filling was just a faint...
It was good. It was really good. It was my favorite.
For it being from Aldi, like I told you this when we were eating it, you could have taken away the Aldi packaging and told me it was like a $40 cheesecake from Whole Foods, and I probably would have believed it like fully. It did have really nice flavors.
Yeah.
I do agree.
It's only $8.99 at Aldi.
Aldi's the shit. Yeah. Oh my God. I love shopping at Aldi.
Except for that one bias is temporarily closed.
I know. They closed my Aldi, gave me coupons for the next towns, but that's like a 30-minute drive for me in Crown Point. I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to have to shop at Strax and spend way more money.
Honestly, for me to even like begin to make the chocolate chip cheesecake that I make, I'd have to spend $9 just on cream cheese usually alone.
Yeah.
Just because each package of cream cheese is like $2 or $3.
Yeah, it's stupid expensive.
And there's three packages in each cheesecake that I make. So I need to do that. I need to do like sweetened condensed milk, the chocolate chips themselves, eggs, graham cracker crumbs for the crust that I mash up. And then I like spread on the bottom of like a springform pan with like butter and cocoa powder mixed in.
Ooh.
I used to put cinnamon in my crust when I would make pies like that.
That was a little extra, she said. A little cocoa powder. Damn. I never even thought about that. You know, we are foodies watching movies, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And are there any movies that specifically, because you know our intro, I was just thinking about the intro right now. Are there any movies specifically that are food related that you just jam on all the time? Like Good Burger or... You know, something like that.
Yes. I guess we could talk about this because it's allegedly fall. It doesn't feel like fall because it's been unbelievably hot here. Like, I was just in Las Vegas and it's hotter here than it was in Las Vegas. But anyway, it's fall, and every fall I like to watch this movie called What's Cookin'? And it's a Thanksgiving-themed holiday movie, and it's one of my favorites. I try to watch it every year around Thanksgiving for inspiration for the holidays.
Huh.
And the food alone is just, it's magnificent because it's about four different families and how they are celebrating their Thanksgiving. And it shows like all the different foods that each family is making. And there's like a Chinese family and a Latina family and all these different families. And it's really funny. I love this movie.
Who's in it?
It's like one of those big ensemble cast movies. Like everybody, it's an old 90s movie.
Oh, gotcha.
What's it called? What's Cooking?
Yeah, it's called What's Cooking. Juliana Margulies is in it. Kiera Sedgwick? That's Kevin Bacon's wife, right? She's in it. And Alfre Woodward's in it. And I can't remember all the other actors in that movie. But I used to watch it with my mom. So that's a foodie movie that I like.
My go-to is always Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Because it's really funny.
I mean, when you think about it, their whole kind of like, the whole movie does revolve around them getting to White Castle. Right. It's just kind of like the fucked up shit that happens along the way.
Like how a simple trip just can't be that simple. No, you know?
Of course
it
not.
It never is when you want White Castle in the middle of the night.
Nope.
And there's always Neil Patrick Harris. It's funny though, at the time I saw Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle when it first came out, I had never had White Castle.
You'd never had
at the
White
time,
Castle?
Yeah, we don't have one where I grew up. There, we have like fucking McDonald's. That's pretty much it, like McDonald's and Subway, you know. So, we are watching this movie with my buddy, and like a week later, we went to a party in Indianapolis, and they're playing beer pong on this table and stuff or whatever, and I'm just having a chuckle, and then someone comes out of the bathroom and yells, "I want fucking White Castles."
Someone always does.
And I literally just went, "Yes, that guy." And I was like, "I've never had it before. I'm excited to try it." The only problem is I drank Tequila Rose that night.
Oh no. Why? Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Well, hold on, because this is actually Tales from a fast foodie, because check this out. So the party happens, and my thought was, I was like 19. I can go pretty hard and party and then just go to work the next day and no sleep, just fucking power through. So I had the White Castles, I had the Tequila Rose, I ended up sleeping on a floor, I kind of blacked down a little bit. Alarm goes off, I'm up at 6. I like had set a little alarm. And I get up and I called my job to call in. And McDonald's opened at 4. So,
which McDonald's did you work at?
Hoopston, Illinois. And I'm in Indianapolis at this point. So I'm 2 hours away as it is, and my shift is at 7 in 1 hour. 4 hour call-in rule. I don't give a fuck. This is amazing because I call in and no one answers. And I call again and no one answers. And I call a third time and no one answers. And I'm like, they can't be this busy. Like, I know it's Sunday. That there's no way they're this busy. And I call and I call and I call. It's 7. Nothing. And I'm like, fuck it, I'll call later today, maybe they'll be open then or something. Come to find out, my manager had got drunk the night before, overslept through her alarm, and didn't open McDonald's until 7:30 in the morning.
Wow.
She called me freaking out, and she's like, "You're not here." And I was like, "Yeah, I tried to call." And she's like, "That's my fault, don't worry about it." And that's all she said.
Wow.
She like covered for me because she fucked up, you know what I'm saying? So it was like I can't believe my call-in worked that time.
That's great. That worked out for you.
It was awesome.
Lucky.
Yeah. Speaking of fast food, we were talking about like this weird little segment I wanted to try.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to just spring it on the audience because they would be like, "What the fuck are these people talking about?"
Okay.
But I want to have one of you guys start because right now my brain's only on McDonald's and I don't know if we want to start there.
Okay.
But I want one of you guys to pick a fast food restaurant. And then we're going to, as quickly as possible, put together whatever we would decide to order from this restaurant.
Order.
Not necessarily a normal order, just like what you're feeling now. And look, the fun part about this game right now is we're all a little too full from the cheese food we just had.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's going to be interesting where your brain goes. Like, if right now we said, okay, let's get up and go to wherever the fuck Veronica says or wherever Lauren says, mm-hmm. what would we get? And it doesn't necessarily have to be like, oh, I'm going to order the whole fucking
nothing,
menu.
Nothing with cheese in it.
That's for sure. Cheese. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't want to order anything.
Something with some type of like protein in it.
Okay, KFC?
Yeah, probably. That's what I was just going to say. Okay. So I'd get like an original chicken breast and like...
There you go.
No mac and cheese. No. Maybe like a side of mashed potatoes and a biscuit.
I think I'd just get one of their little kickers, buffalo style.
Like what is a little kicker?
It's a little bun. They got the little tiny like palm sized bun, and then they put
like for the chicken littles.
The chicken littles, KFC? Yeah. Chicken littles. That's what it's called. What I call it? Little kickers.
Little kickers.
I don't know why I said that. That's where my mind was at.
But so for your KFC order, you always get the sadness bowl with honey and
not
gravy.
Today I'm not. There ain't no fucking way. Typically, yes, you're right. Typically, if it wasn't right now, I definitely get the famous bowl with no gravy and several packets of honey. You slather the fucking sadness bowl with all the honey that you can muster, stir the ever-living fuck out of it, and you have the greatest...
You call it a sadness bowl.
That's a Veronica thing. It's so genius, too. Because when you're done eating it like that,
What is it called at KFC? Like,
a famous bowl.
A famous bowl.
$5 famous bowl.
Yeah, but the famous... It's like a bowl of sadness. You're getting a pile of mashed potatoes.
It's literally all comfort food.
I feel
food.
Like it's basically
chicken,
just...
cheese and gravy.
I feel like it's just all the shit that, like, they probably need to, like, just... get rid of. Right. So they just kind of like just all toss it in there. There's corn. Isn't there corn in there?
Yeah, corn. There's popcorn chicken. Oh, got a little extra popcorn chicken.
I just order them the normal way, the way they come with gravy and whatnot. And then Nate and I accidentally swapped our famous bowls when we were through the drive-thru, and I tried his with the honey, and it was surprisingly good.
I'm telling you, the honey just does it. It sweetens everything up a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to enjoy that, but I did.
Of course you did. I know what I'm talking about. That's something you always tell me. That's something that consistently when we go eat at places, I hear this phrase. Nate, you always order the best shit.
You do. You always order the best. I'm always jealous when we're eating and I'm not eating what you're eating.
Except for, can I just say though...
He always picks the best thing.
There was one time I picked something that was like out of this world. It was some sort of waffle. Do you remember that? It was at Sophia's. We went there, and I got that, like, Nutella waffle.
Oh, my God, you did.
And it was next level. It had, like, bacon on it.
Why the hell did I get that?
And you thought about getting that, and you're like, nah, pass.
Peanut butter and bacon?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
I don't think there's peanut butter on it. I think it was Nutella.
Well, she's saying same kind of flavor palette, though, as mm-hmm. peanut butter bacon.
Yeah. Sophia's is delicious.
Yeah. But most recently, though, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we went to this place called Taverns on Main. It's in Crown Point. Yeah, I'm calling them out. I don't give a fuck. I am not happy about this thing, and I want to kind of air my grievances a little bit.
I hate complaining.
I don't care. This is awful. And listen, if you're in the food service industry, you've been in it. You've been in it. I've been in it. The food service industry is about serving people food. It's not that hard. And do it with a smile. That's all you have to do. Even if shit's running behind, as long as you're pleasant about it running behind, I don't care. Just be cool. You know, don't be shitty to me.
Well, the second waitress we had was very nice about it.
She was nice.
We didn't have a good experience at this restaurant. The food was poo-poo.
Where was this?
This place in Crown Point. This new place.
Taverns on Main. Yeah. Or Tavern on Main.
Yeah, we had heard that from everybody that had been there that I'd heard from said that it was good. They all had good experiences there. And so we went there and had lunch and we got to sit outside, and that was really nice.
Hold
I was
on.
Enjoying that.
You missed the whole first part, though, because...
See, because I don't like complaining. Yeah, it's not that big a deal.
But it's important to the story.
Okay, go ahead.
We're a podcast. We got to tell our stories, right? That's the whole point. So we go to this Taverns on Main place, and we were actually going to go to sushi that day, but they were closed. Damn it. Still mad at that.
Thinking about that, because we really wanted sushi from this place called Umi.
Yeah, so we didn't get to go to Umi, and we walk around the block.
Is that in Crown Point? I feel like it's right on the square.
Right on the square,
it's
correct.
Right on the square above.
Right across from the courthouse.
Yeah.
So I guess everything on the square is across from the courthouse, because it's a square. But
like, isn't it like on the second floor?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, above the steakhouse.
was that Prime Time or Prime? It's
Prime Steakhouse.
Okay. So is it on the south side of the square?
Yep.
Yeah. And then, so this is on the east side of the square. Tavern. Is Tavern on Main. We walk in. It's like, please wait to be seated. They seat us. Inside, outside, we sit inside. So we're inside, we're sitting. It was like 10 minutes. No one came up to us. No, can I get your drinks? No, how's it going? There were not that many people. It really wasn't.
No, there wasn't a lot of people.
It wasn't like a fucking Friday night probably is in there, you know? It was like a random Monday morning or afternoon or something. So finally this lady, hey, can I take, you know, whatever? And we're like, we all order waters. And she seemed kind of pissed off that we ordered waters. Like, she was like, oh, okay. And then V was like, man, it'd be probably nicer to sit outside because they were playing god awful, the worst 90s music ever. Like, every sad love song, breakup song was playing on their radio on this
Nelly
day.
Torn on
I think that was the first song that came on when we were in there. And then there was another one, like, too.
Not today. Not today, Natalie. I'm going to go outside. So we went and sat outside, and it was nice.
But our food came. You ordered the lobster mac.
Yeah, I ordered lobster mac and cheese, and it wasn't very good.
Fail. Didn't taste very
good. Tasted not good. The lobster was really good. It had a nice flavor to it, but the mac and cheese part was like literally just like noodles in this like what looked like water.
It was gouillet, right?
It was supposed to be gouillere.
Yeah, but...
And it was like there was no flavor.
Nope.
Nothing. I feel like if they cooked it with a roux, they didn't cook all the flour out of it or something. It just was very grainy, and I was really disappointed. And but the lady asked me if I wanted a box, and I said, no, I wasn't really into it today. And she very graciously took it off the bill, so that was really nice.
Yeah. The Brussels sprouts, we were supposed to have, like, these, like, grilled charred Brussels sprouts, which sound delicious, except for these were, like, not really grilled and kind of soggy and not fully cooked. They were kind of also raw.
Everything was really kind of off about our meal. I think they were having a moment,
just,
you know?
Like, it was just like, not, it was, overall, it was just not
and
a
you
great.
You had tacos, and we all tried some of these tacos because he's like, just taste this. And there was like no seasoning on any of it.
You couldn't taste anything. There was no taste there.
Have you guys been to Uni?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Umi.
Oh. Umi? Is it called Umi?
Umi.
Yeah.
U-M-I?
Uh-huh. Umi.
Yumi.
Yumi. I couldn't think for a second. Umi. Yeah, Umi is the best. I get the baked lobster roll there because I am not like a super huge sushi fan, like raw cold sushi. So I like mine cooked.
I'm going to
so
look.
Like California rolls with lobster on top and this eel sauce. And it's fucking phenomenal.
I want to look up and see on the Umi menu what I ordered because I think it's like a Godzilla roll or something.
Is that cooked sushi?
What I get, the baked lobster roll is cooked.
Okay.
It's California rolls covered with cooked lobster and eel sauce. So it's sweeter, but it's got this really delicious savoriness about it from the meat. And like the California rolls has the, you know, the crab and cucumber.
I feel like I'd like that a lot better than like raw sushi.
Yeah. I like it because I'm not a big sushi fan unless it's, you know, cooked. It's just my preference.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking me forever to find where the hell this sushi that I ordered is.
Ooh, and they have really good sweet potato rolls close. There, too. They're like, they taste like dessert.
I did. I ordered the Godzilla. It's a shrimp tempura cream cheese avocado topped with lightly seared rare ribeye.
And we put pictures of those on our Foodies Watching Movies Instagram when we went there. What was it, like a...
It was like 6 months ago.
Like 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but...
Yeah. We were on a sushi kick for a while. We went to a couple of different places, and we put pictures online on our Instagram.
I like sushi quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
I have such a love-hate relationship with avocados.
Okay, do explain.
Just because they're never ripe when I want them to be ripe. And then as soon as they are ripe, I feel like they're only ripe for maybe like...
a day.
And then they're unripe.
Yeah.
And then they're like basically just like bad avocado. Get out of here. I'm going to throw you away.
Pretty much when I shop for avocados, my big thing is the grenade. If you can push the stem in, it's ripe. And typically if you can push it in at the top, use it that day. So don't... shop for your avocado until the day you're using it. Of course, now that there is a chance that you're going to run into a day where the fucking supermarket has zero ripe avocados, because it happens. It does happen. But I typically will wait to shop for my avocado till day of, just so I know I'm getting the kind I want and I can just get to it immediately.
And hope that they're ripe.
To avoid exactly the problem you were just talking about. Because I was like, how do you hate anything about avocado? It doesn't make any sense.
I usually try to add avocado in like everything that I can. Like if I go out and they have like avocado that I can like add into an omelet or a burger or anything really, I'm adding the avocado. Oh,
speaking of burgers, have you ever been to Meatheads?
Yes.
They've got the California burger, and it has avocado on it. Oh, next level.
The first time I ever went there and I got something with avocado on it was probably like 6 months ago, and I went there before I was, I feel like I was maybe going to go volunteer at the animal shelter in Munster, and I went there and I got like a crispy chicken sandwich, and I added avocado on it, and it was amazing. Ooh.
Their chicken sandwiches are really good there.
Man, yeah. They used to be great, and then they did something to the buns, and they're great.
When they first opened, we went there to try it out, and I got something to try to replicate an In-N-Out burger, because we live in the Midwest, and I don't get to have that often, and I love it. And it was, like, almost fucking perfect how close Meatheads got to In-N-Out burger. And then the next time we went there, I guess they had changed, like, something about it, and it's not the same. It's different, and it's not as good.
Man, yeah, it was super bummer. And the one thing they do have,
though, bun was like all gummy. It was like meat glue.
They have edible cookie dough there.
Oh my god, they do!
And it's
delicious.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's just like these little cups of cookie dough that you can just jam. No egg,
so you won't get sick.
I know this girl that went to Lowell, and she sells cookie dough at Meatheads.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm not sure if they like specifically have like certain nights where they sell it, or if they have it like all the time.
I know when we went, they have like a little kiosk that just has like rows of it, because it's like regular chocolate chip, and I think they might have a peanut butter or oatmeal one that's like an alternate flavor.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I know. I think that company that did the edible cookie dough was on Shark Tank, I'm pretty sure. And, like, as soon as they were on Shark Tank, I don't think they actually got a deal, or maybe they did get a deal, and then their deal was for them to get sold out to Meatheads. So they essentially sold their stock.
Correct.
So I think it might be, as of right now, a Meatheads exclusive, but don't quote me on that, because they might be in specialty supermarkets and stuff as well. Typically, that's how that kind of stuff works. So I know. I just, like, threw a lot of information at you really fast. You're just like, what? We all watched some movies. You have finally seen a movie that I'm so excited for you to talk about.
The Departed.
Yes.
Yeah, Nate and I and Sarah watched The Departed last week. I had never seen it before, and I thought that was strange because I used to have a huge crush on Leonardo DiCaprio, so of course I'd seen everything that he's been in, except this movie.
Did you see Shutter Island?
Yes, I did.
That was a fucking weird movie.
It was a really weird movie. So The Departed, I thought, was great. I really liked it. It was a total bummer. It was pretty bleak, but I thought it was an excellent movie. Have you seen The Departed, Lauren?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really, it was really,
really
long.
Really, really amazing
it
cast.
It was really long, though.
A really amazing cast.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Damon.
It's Matt Damon, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson.
And Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. Right, he was a prick in that movie, like
Alec
usual.
Alec Baldwin
was hilarious.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like the comic relief of the movie.
Yeah.
I love Alec Baldwin.
Was Mark Wahlberg, wasn't he the last one standing like at the end of the movie?
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, he is. And do you want to know something crazy? I had this little, I don't know, have you seen The Other Guys?
No.
It's Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
No,
and
buddy
cop like,
movie.
They're buddy cop, but they are just desk jockeys. Like they don't go on the field. And then, like, Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock's characters, for a reason you never find out, kill themselves. And they're, like, the star cops of this squad. So then there's, like, a competition to which team of two are going to be the next stars of the squad. And it's, like, the one of the Wayans brothers and Rob Riggle and then Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. And it's just in my head, I want to just keep saying that Mark Wahlberg in The Departed's character goes into witness protection and becomes that cop in The Other Guys. Because it's just a complete departure of his character. He's this, like, terrible cop, super dork. And Will Ferrell is with, I can't remember what the supermodel, what her name is. Eva Mendez, I think. Right? No, that's a wrestler.
I don't know.
I think that's a WWE wrestler.
No, Eva Mendez is an actress.
She is an actress. Yeah, she's an actress. Eve Torres, that's the wrestler. Too many podcasts, too much knowledge. Sorry.
This network should be called Journey into Nate's Mind.
Sometimes. The Departed is one of my favorite movies, though, really.
It was really good. I was glad we watched it. It was like, it felt like one of those classic good movies, you know?
It's just the story gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and things are getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And then there's this beautiful moment in the movie where everything crosses without it ever touching. It crosses through the therapist. Mm-hmm. You've got Leo DiCaprio's character going to her for advice, and then like kind of they like form this relationship.
Isn't that Vera Farmiga?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
from Bates Motel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip, you have Matt really Damon's like character. Mm-hmm. Who is losing her all at the same time, and they are literally pawns in the same game on the opposite side of the field playing for the same general and against the same general, essentially. Just different perspectives. Good guy playing a bad guy playing a good guy. And the therapist is where they meet before they really actually meet. And that movie ends in such a bizarre, just like, oh, and whoop, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Game over.
It was super bleak.
Yeah.
I was pleased to see Leonardo DiCaprio in a movie with Jack Nicholson, because I always thought that they look very similar. Like, they have very similar features, you know. And I used to love Leonardo DiCaprio when I was younger. And I loved Jack Nicholson, too.
Yeah, well, it's possible that Leo's going to be playing Jack Nicholson in Batman.
Joker.
Yeah, as a Joker.
Yeah, I heard that.
Isn't Leonardo DiCaprio, isn't he supposed to be playing H.H. Holmes in The Devil in the White City?
I think so, yes.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah, I did read about that.
That
should be interesting.
So, yeah. Just as The Departed came out 12 years ago, it's a movie from 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while, but go ahead and, what out of 5 pizza slices, what do you put? How many pizza slices are you putting on the table for The Departed?
I'm going to give it 4.5 pizza slices.
Wow, strong.
It was good. It was too long.
Like, yeah, it's like it clocks in at 2 hours, like 36 minutes, I think.
It was really long. I wasn't ready for that. It was super sad. And I don't know. I thought it was an excellent movie. It was really good. I'm glad we watched it.
Good, I'm glad. Now, retrospectively, same question. Out of 5 pizza slices, how many pizza slices would you give The Departed?
Probably like 4.5 or like 5, honestly.
Given that the story is so well weaved, it needs the long run time, I think, because it's really strategically placing everything up to that very one specific moment between Nicholson and Matt Damon, you know, that really shifts the movie at the end. And then you get the whole, what I call the prologue of the movie with, you know, Leo DiCaprio coming in now. And he's, I'm the rat. I was the rat. And now Matt Damon clearly knows what really is going on. And then everything gets pieced together and they both find each other out.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
It's this great, like, who's first, like, Now they're not playing blindly against each other. It's all out war.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, runtime aside, I kind of agree with Lauren. I think it might deserve like 5 pizza slices.
It's a near perfect movie.
With like some bacon. You know, like 4.99 with some bacon on my pizza.
Okay.
You know?
I'm just thinking about this movie. I didn't know like how the ending was going to go because I've never seen this movie and nobody ever spoiled it for me in the 12 years it's been since its release.
Luckily.
Yeah. So I had no idea what was going to happen, and I was super bummed when Leo got killed first. I was just like, whoa.
You definitely
I wasn't expecting that.
You definitely want it to be Matt Damon that, that gets taken out first, I think.
I normally love Matt Damon in like all of his roles besides like that one for the most part.
The Martian was one of my favorite Matt Damon movies.
I really liked him in, what was the other one? The Adjustment Bureau?
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's got him and Emily Blunt in it.
Mm-hmm. I remember that movie.
Yeah.
I saw that movie.
That one was really good.
I had to watch a lot of Matt Damon movies over the past few, many years.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
I liked him in The Talented Mr. Ripley. I thought that was a fucked up movie.
So now you saw The Departed, right?
Uh-huh.
But Lauren also watched a movie she hadn't seen before. And we've literally not said anything about it leading up to this. So, I Married an Ex-Murderer. How was it? What did you think?
You watched it?
Yes.
Oh my God. I love that movie.
I really liked it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Now, I'd be really heartbroken if you didn't.
Did Mike Myers also play
his dad?
His dad in that movie?
He sure did.
And I'm pretty sure his dad in that movie is like the archetype for Fat Bastard.
I was going to say... Yeah.
From Austin Powers.
I'm pretty sure that's what he like. I want to say, don't quote me on this, folks. I want to say that I do remember like watching behind the scenes stuff for Austin Powers. I used to really like that series, but Goldmember really spoiled it for me. I really thought that movie was like, you know, big thumbs down. But I do feel like that the only reason they created Fat Bastard in that movie was so he could reprise that voice because he really liked doing the Scottish accent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
that's, you know, as controversial as this statement's going to be, So I Married an Axe Murderer is my favorite Mike Myers movie, even though I love Wayne's World and I love Wayne's World too. But So I Married an Axe Murderer is my favorite Mike Myers movie. It's so good. My mom and I watched it when I was little. And it was like my night movie for a while.
I was very surprised to find out that it wasn't Harriet that was the axe murderer. It was her sister.
Rose.
Yes.
Jailbird.
Yep.
Yes.
And the stupid slam poetry in it. I loved it. It's so cute and funny.
Whoa, man.
Whoa, man.
Yeah, Mike Myers is great in that. Funny little secret thing about So I Married an Axe Murderer. The opening scene of the movie, they're going through the like the coffee shop or the spot where all the slam poetry is happening, and Mike Myers is sitting and there's a map behind him.
Yeah.
My hometown, Hoopston, Illinois, is visible on the map in the movie, and everybody in Hoopston was always like, oh my God, you could see our town.
They would.
You know, because it's a town of like 6,000 people. So it's
very tiny.
The thing is, though, and funny, we can totally tiny tangent into this because it is food related. Hoopston's mascot is the corn jerker.
That was Nate's high school mascot.
Correct.
The corn jerker.
It's a giant stalk of fucking corn. That's it's not a lie. It's a giant fucking stalk of corn with a face and arms and legs. But what it's wearing is only its stalk. Like it's very bizarre. So Dick Hobbs in the late 1800s in Hoopston was the coach of the football team, and his football team also were tasseling. They were tasseling corn. Detasseling corn.
About the history of your
town. I do. So I want to give people an understanding of what the fuck this even means, because that's a very bizarre statement to just claim you're a corn jerker and not explain why.
Okay.
So Dick Hobbs went out into the fields to get his football players who were detasseling corn. They were jerking corn. So he said, come to practice, you bunch of corn jerkers. And they thought it was a joke. And they laughed at him and just went, ha ha. Corn jerkers, because we weren't, the school was still, this is like in the very beginning. So it became a thing. Somebody drew it up and boom, for the history of Hoopston, corn jerker. David Letterman's mom loves Hoopston, Illinois because of the corn jerkers. Legitimate.
Really?
She went to the Hoopston Sweet Corn Festival for many years, and when Letterman was still in syndication, he did a special almost every year from Hoopston.
Small town life.
Have either of you ever watched the TV show Friday Night Lights?
No, it's a football show, right?
Yes, it's amazing. And they're taking it off Netflix on October 1st. And they're taking off 30 Rock, too. And
I
feel like...
Are they taking off X-Files?
Yeah, they took off X-Files back in like... They took off X-Files the same month that they took off Buffy, Angel, and Firefly.
Lame.
Hold on, can I explain something? Because everybody gets up in arms about this, and I know a little bit about like the way that Netflix works. They only have so much storage space, right? So they do pivoting. They have rights that are exclusive to whatever for however long. If a thing goes off, one of two things is happening. They're either restructuring the contract with whoever owns the movie rights, or they're literally choosing to take it off so they can save space. And like right now, there's a huge influx of Halloween stuff.
Yeah.
So they're overloading the Halloween stuff. But you're not going to want to watch a Halloween movie at Christmas.
Plus, I feel like they're using so much space. And I know this is going to sound really crappy because I know that they're just trying to like make their own niche in like the market, kind of like HBO and Showtime. Content. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're just taking off so much good stuff that I like grew up watching. And like, I don't know how I'm going to watch it now.
I know. It's kind of like the whole point of Netflix when it first started was so you could watch movies that, you know, that you want to watch.
I remember when I first got Netflix, I was in high school, and I feel like I might have also rented TV shows through it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because like what you could do discs. Is the disc service, yeah, and you could put it in the little envelope.
That's how I watched the X-Files.
I thought people who did that were crazy. I would go, like, to people's houses, friends and stuff, and they'd have the little Netflix slips, and yeah. I was just like, you're fucking weird. Just go buy the movie. Like, what? I didn't get it. And then when they started streaming, I will never, ever forget this. We were up for a visit visiting Sarah's family, and her brother's like, hey, I got this clock. Check it out. You can watch Netflix on it. And I was like, what? Isn't that a disc thing? And he's like, no, you can stream now. And it was mm-hmm. this tiny fucking alarm clock with a screen that had fucking Netflix on it. And it was awesome. Many nights were spent just me looking at this little thing like, this thing's fucking cool. Mm-hmm. I can watch Netflix on an alarm clock now. And then, of course, now it's just my...
I'm still upset that they took Fringe off of it, and they took...
I loved Fringe.
Doctor Who.
I loved Fringe. Fringe was, like, my favorite show.
That was one of my favorite shows, too. And I never watched the series finale.
Yeah.
I didn't watch, like, the last, like, three episodes, because I was so bummed that it got canceled. I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to wait until I really want to watch it.
Yeah, but, like, the last three episodes are really, really good.
I know. That's what everybody said, but I never watched it, and someday I will.
It's so emotional. It gets crazy emotional.
I want to rewatch the series and then finish it, because I never finished it.
I have all five seasons on DVD.
Sweet. Maybe I need to borrow it. I feel like the last thing I remember was the episode with all the amber. Like, people were getting trapped in amber.
Yeah, that was probably like the third or maybe even the fourth season.
No, then
Had to have seen the last season then when they were like cutting Olivia out of Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to watch Fringe, Nate. Lauren, you're going to need to let us borrow it.
Okay, we'll make that happen.
Yeah.
We didn't rate So I Married an Ex-Murderer. And I know it's different because it's a comedy versus a very serious drama and Martin Scorsese vehicle of The Departed.
What's the rating system?
Same thing. It's five. It's on a five pizza slices.
I would give it a 5 out of 5. Nostalgia wins.
Wow. Strong.
Mm-hmm.
Strong.
It's an excellent movie. I would recommend it time and time again, as I've watched it time and time again.
I think it's good. I think it's 3.75 pizza slices.
I was going to say either 3.5 or 4. Or 4.25 like 2.5 maybe.
With some like extra Asiago cheese. Yeah, some Parmesan or something. Ooh, red pepper flakes. God, that's my fucking jam. Or some hot sauce. Give me the hot sauce funk. That's a Chicago Bulls reference that no one got. That
not in this room.
Not in this room. Y'all don't sports.
We don't sports here.
No.
Okay.
We eat
so
a lot.
Here's an interesting thing. It came down to the wire. I wanted to watch Godfather. I haven't seen it, you know. I wanted to watch Godfather.
Are you sure that The Godfather isn't on Showtime? Or maybe it's on Amazon Prime, maybe.
Oh, if it's on Amazon Prime, I could have totally watched it, and I didn't even look there. I forget that my dad let me have his login info for Prime. I never thought to look there.
But, I feel like at the very least, you can at least rent it on Amazon if you have like a login to like get in there and like you have a credit card attached to like your Amazon account.
Well, I didn't get to do that. That clearly didn't happen.
Yeah, we wanted to watch movies that we had never seen before.
I was kind of scrambling at this point because I put it off as
I've
do.
I've never seen The Godfather either.
Oh, well, see, I feel less bad. I thought that you had seen that when I went to pick that movie, so... because I was trying to hopefully make it to where we each watched the movie that, like, everybody but one person had seen whatever movie that person had to watch.
Weren't we talking to Dick from Podcastrophy about watching The Godfather and doing, like, an Italian night?
I don't know.
Making cannoli?
I don't know if that conversation actually happened, but maybe it happened. That's been a whirlwind of a weekend that
I'm pretty sure we talked about it in the group chat.
Maybe. That was...
We were talking about cannolis, and he said that he wanted to make some kind of pasta or pizza pasta or something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's got the pizza pasta thing or
whatever. We have to have a pizza party with Blaine. And watch The Godfather.
I'm wondering if they can hear the cat meowing in agony. She's trying to get...
I need to be fed.
No, she's like, oh, my God, let me into this room. Why are you not letting me into this room? The last time you almost let me into this room, why aren't you doing it now? So, I didn't get to watch the Godfather. You were super gracious and brought Reality Bites over, which mostly watched it today. We're gonna do something in a minute with that.
While we were cooking,
and I got and I know I do definitely want to rewatch so I can get all the little dialogue and stuff that I missed because it's a lot of actors I really love. But before that, I also watched The Prestige. And I'm not going to spoil it. I genuinely am not going to say too much. I just wanted to touch on it because
Lauren hasn't seen it.
Lauren, I think that's the next movie you should watch. You're going to freak the fuck out. I stayed up. Okay, listen. So last night was the culmination of my dad and I finishing work on this house we've been working on for 1 year and 3 months. And we repainted the whole thing and we did tons of repairs and work to it. And after the letdown of that, and we made a big feast of a dinner and all these things, I went upstairs at midnight. And I was like, I'll start The Prestige, probably fall asleep, and I'll finish it tomorrow morning. No big deal. 10 minutes, I was fucking hooked, and I could not sleep until I knew how it ended. Because it's just...
I told you.
Boom.
I was like, we should watch this movie together.
We're going to watch it together
because again. I love this movie. Oh, I've seen it many times because I thought it was so good. I remember seeing it in theater, or at the theater in Crown Point, before they closed it, the old Crown Theater. And there was a bat flying around the ceiling of that theater.
Really? During the movie?
Yeah.
Really?
That's crazy. And
no wonder it closed, but you know.
This is the theater in...
In Crown Point.
Oh, wow.
On the square.
Last time I went to go see a movie there was probably in high school.
The last movie I saw there, I think, was The Prestige.
Yeah.
What did it come out? 2008?
Six.
2006?
Yeah. Chris Nolan driven.
It's a great movie.
And, you know, Chris Nolan, to me, okay, there is one glaring exception. I don't like The Dark Knight Rises. I've said it countless times on Journey into Comics. It's my least favorite superhero movie. I think they did just a very poor job of finishing that series, especially how Dark Knight ended and how great that was. Chris Nolan, though, for the most part, can do no wrong. Memento? Have you seen Memento?
Yes, I love Memento.
Oh, my God.
We just added that to the watch list on Hulu.
It's we have the Blu-ray, too. I mean, it's just... It's one of those movies, the first time I saw it, I was like, fuck, I need to watch it 30 more times. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I didn't see it even the first time watching the full movie. Because, you're led to believe one thing through that whole movie, and then, the realization kicks in. This is a cyclical thing that has never changed. It's the same. It's always been the same. So then when you rewatch it from the perspective of, it's already happened like this. This whole story has already happened before, and it's just a thing that Leonard goes through. It's fucking dark and deep, and it does a really great job of reverse storytelling. I don't think a lot of movies have tried to tackle it since Memento.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Reversing their storytelling creatively, mind you, and not just Tarantino-ing things, as it were.
I'm really excited for you to watch City of God and Let the Right One In.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute before we do this Reality Bites thing. So you said that you wanted to talk a little bit about foreign films, and you brought some with you.
Yes.
So let's talk about them for a little bit. Let's get into it. Okay. What'd you bring?
I brought City of God, Let the Right One In, The Motorcycle Diaries, and Amelie. Is that how you pronounce it?
Amelie.
Amelie?
Mm-hmm. Amelie. It's a little more French.
Yeah.
Okay.
City of God is this movie... I feel like it's based on it. Yeah, it is based on a true story. It's about this kid named Rocket, who is a photographer in the City of God, which is like this slum in Rio de Janeiro. And like he becomes like a photographer for this magazine, and he sells a lot of his pictures of like the crimes that's going on in the slums, like all the cocaine and all the murders. Yeah. And it's just, it's so fucking good. It's so amazing.
It was a really good movie.
Did it get any nominations for any awards, maybe?
Let's see.
Probably.
It was 4 Academy Award nominations, including Best Director. It didn't win any, but it was nominated.
Man, sometimes a nomination is all people need to just propel their career.
Yeah. I really want you to watch The Lives of Others, too. That's an amazing German film. That won the Oscar in 2003, I think, for Best Foreign Film. It was really good.
The Lives of Others?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen that one.
Yeah, that one's amazing.
What's it about?
It's about this, like, he's like a Stasi agent, so, like, he works for, like, East Germany. He doesn't work for West Germany. He works for, like, East Germany, like, during, like, right before the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Gotcha.
He was a Stasi agent, and he, like, wires this playwright's apartment, and he, like, tries to, like, find out, like, what this playwright is doing, because this playwright, like, writes articles for, like, this outside West Germany company that will then publish the articles about, I feel like he wrote an article about suicide in East Germany and how the rates are so much higher than anywhere else in the country.
So it's almost like propaganda?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But anyway, the whole movie bases around this like Stasi agent kind of relationship with this playwright who he begins to like empathize with him. So he starts like fudging his reports so that like no one will know that like the playwright is writing this article and he's getting it published out of the country.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's an amazing movie.
Intense. Yeah. It does sound intense. I dig it.
Yeah. It's an amazing movie. It's very sad, but very sad in like a good way. Like it has a very sad but very happy sad ending.
It's like a bittersweet resolve.
Yeah.
Very George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
Nice. I see here Amelie V. That's like you and Sarah's like one of your favorite movies, right? You guys like
those?
It's
one of my favorite movies, yeah, for sure. I've always loved the movie Amelie. It's super precious and adorable and French and weird. And my mom actually had a painting party at her house once, it wasn't for a painting party. We just watched Amelie.
Yeah.
We just had a movie night with a bunch of our friends, with my mom, at her place, and we had all French food. We bought brie and had macarons and stuff, and it was really fun. I love that movie. It was sweet.
Looking here, what is Let the Right One In?
That one will fuck you up a little bit.
Yeah, that one's not as lighthearted as Amelie at all.
That's a vampire tell. One. Ooh, yeah. I like vampires. Go yeah. on.
It's about this young girl who is a vampire, and she befriends this boy who lives in her apartment complex with her. You come to find out that, yeah, she's a vampire, and she like has to like kill and like drink people to be able to survive. But you come to find out that, like, she... Wasn't she, like, once a boy?
I watched that movie, and I saw the original one, and I saw the remake, and I still don't fucking understand what these movies are about. It's like... I don't know.
I feel like I have the book, or I had the book, and I can't remember if I read it, or... I feel like I had to have read it at some point in time.
I don't remember that being in the movie, but it's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
Yeah, there's a part in the movie where like the young boy like walks in on her changing or whatever, and he can like see that like there's like a scar down there or whatever.
Mm. Maybe I blocked some of this movie out. It was kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. So she
talk about bleep.
She's like probably like I don't know how many hundreds of years old. I mean, she has to be pretty old if that was done like back in the day.
I don't know,
but yeah, so that was a pretty fucked up movie, but it has a kind of good ending from what I remember.
It was a sweet movie in a way. It was kind of sweet.
Interesting.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm still eating cheesecake.
It's okay, that's not a big deal.
I couldn't let it go to waste.
I would sit up a little bit though. That'll make yourself. There you go. Now you won't be falling away from the microphone.
Okay. I just didn't want to let people hear me chew.
Oh, that's fine.
Some people have problems with that.
Yeah, well, you're just like, chew off mic. Chew off the mic. Okay, and then you also brought the Motorcycle Diaries.
Yeah.
This isn't like a Harley Davidson sponsored Mad Max movie, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
It's about Che Guevara.
Okay.
Yeah, this is based on a true story because Che Guevara.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, he was an actual Cuban rebel kind mm-hmm. of. Didn't he lead the Cuban Revolution?
Correct.
Yeah. So that movie is about him. As he's growing up and training to become a doctor, and because he was training to become a doctor, and he takes his best friend with him across Cuba, or no, this is South America. This is not Cuba. This is South America.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, this is throughout Chile and.
Yeah. Correct.
Because they start in maybe Brazil, maybe? I'm not really sure where he's from originally, but. They start down there and they work their way north, and it features some really, really good cinematography and it's such a good movie. It deals with his best friend. I forget what his name is. Fuser, maybe?
I didn't see this movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
His best friend, who's this kind of chubby guy who kind of pilots the motorcycle.
Okay.
Because Che just kind of cool. sits on the back.
I know. I gotcha. I'm excited to watch these movies.
Yeah, that'll be our homework for before next episode.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Really, to think about foreign films, I think there are probably only two off the top of my head that I really distinctly remember loving.
I will try and get a copy of The Lives of Others and bring it over here.
Sweet.
I used to own a copy of it, but I lost it in the move.
I think that I'm going to finally drop this Trump card. We've been talking about it since the first Foodies watching movies ever. But I think that everybody needs to watch Enter the Void. I'm so sorry.
He's been talking about this movie for the longest time.
I'm genuinely so sorry, but you have to see it. It's one of those, what the fuck, but I'm so glad I watched it type movies.
What is it?
So Enter the Void, it's not a documentary. Enter the Void. No, you're talking. Okay. Touching the Void is what you're thinking.
Oh.
And Touching the Void is the story of the two guys that climb the mountain.
I know. Blah, blah. You've been telling me about it for a long time.
Yes. But Enter the Void is a Japanese movie, right? And essentially, it's these two dudes are in this apartment and they're doing this blue pill drug that makes them see all cartoony and weird, and it's all fucked up and fun. And you're just like, oh, this is a bizarre, weird movie. So the one dude's like, hey, come with me to the bar. I'm going to go sell some drugs, right? No big deal. Well, surprise, the cops knew it was coming and they shoot the place up. And the main character of the movie dies in a bathroom stall 5 minutes into the movie. And then the whole movie is from his spirit's perspective. And it is fucked up, immensely. It's wild. The ending is so
what is the name of this movie?
Enter the Void. And it is genuinely maybe the most bizarre film I've ever seen. Not bizarre for shock value, as much as bizarre as in you told a story that I thought you were going to jokingly maybe brush towards, but you actually went to that story and took it to that place. And it's really fucked up. It's a fucked up film. That's all I can say.
So is that supposed to be our homework assignment for before next episode?
Maybe. If you
Enter the Void?
Enter the Void, yeah. Okay. I think it's one of those movies that... if you can get through it, you'll appreciate what it is and go, okay, probably don't have to do that ever again, because it sticks with you. I mean, I've seen it three times now, but the first time, my buddy Josh said, hey, if you're going to watch a foreign movie, watch Enter the Void. It's weird. It's on Netflix. It's never left Netflix. It's always been on Netflix, right?
City of God, I feel like is on Netflix right now.
Sweet. But, you know, he's like, if you, you watch Into the Void, but it's fucked up. You, like, you're not going to be able to get over how fucked up it is. So I watched that movie at like 2 a.m. in the dark by myself on Netflix. I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. Watch it like midday. Seriously.
That bad, huh?
It's a psychologically and emotionally driven like masterpiece. Mm. It will make you think and feel ways you probably didn't think you thought you should think or feel. That's what that movie does. Like, honestly. Yeah. It's a solid, like, it's like a 4.5-star foreign film. And my all-time favorite foreign film is the original Old Boy, which, if you don't know about Old Boy, guy gets imprisoned. He's lived in prison.
That movie has some pretty fucked up violent scenes, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, because essentially the whole movie hinges on the guy who's been imprisoned, realizes he shouldn't have been imprisoned. He gets out of prison, and now he's seeking revenge on every motherfucker that put him there and this big conspiracy against him. And he just takes everyone out up the chain. It's fucked up. It's awesome.
Is it satisfying to watch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's definitely up there.
More satisfying than Kill Bill, even?
Kill Bill was pretty satisfying.
Did Kill Bill come out in 06?
No.
05?
04.
Okay, well, then I can't claim that.
I think so.
Because I do believe that Kill Bill did steal a little bit from Old Boy, but I think Old Boy came out in 2002 or 2003. So I know the new Josh Brolin one came out in like 2015, but or 2014, but the original was a 2003 movie, and it's, I think, also on Netflix and amazing, very satisfying.
Kill Bill came out in 2003, and then 2004 Kill Bill 2 came out.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'm adjusting so my back doesn't hurt no longer. I know. We're about to wrap this up, folks.
To segue into the next part, aren't you going to talk about what you think the last 10 minutes of Reality Bites?
Yes, that's actually what I wanted to close on today. So you brought Reality Bites over, and I didn't, with everything that's been going on. It was like, I really want to watch it, and I wanted to watch it because I knew it had a lot of characters and a lot of actors that I really love. It has Ethan Hawke. It has Winona Ryder, Janine Garofalo.
Steve Zahn.
Ben Stiller. I feel like I saw somebody else in there that was...
What is his name? He plays David Spade.
Oh, David Spade. Thank you. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
Andy Dick maybe is in it a little bit.
Yeah, so it's like all these hilarious actors. Essentially, Winona Ryder films all these things in life, and she's like documenting reality.
Yeah.
And
very 90s thing to do.
Her and Janine Garofalo are jamming out music and having a smoke. She throws a cigarette out the window into Ben Stiller's convertible, and he crashes into them, and then that sparks this interest between Winona Ryder and Ben Stiller, and then they have this love interest going on, and he's like a part of... like a station that's very...
kind of like an MTV-esque station.
Yeah, but a little bit more, they call it a little edgier, you know? Mm-hmm. Which, funny, because like MTV departed from one kind of edgy and went to like a whole different bizarre kind of edgy. But so, you know, but the whole time, Ethan Hawke is like pining for a Winona Ryder. Mm-hmm. It's like the whole movie's drive is that Troy, the character Troy, is just like insanely in love with this girl, and she doesn't even look at him like that. Because it's just, she's a pal. He's a pal, pre-friend zone, you know, this is the 90s, as it were. So the falling out, there's the kind of the last part of the movie that I saw before we had to start recording was Winona running away from the club. Troy had just played this song that was like kind of filthy and kind of not really filthy, but kind of lovey and kind of...
Wasn't it the Violent Femmes?
I think so. I didn't want to quote that, but I think that is the Violent Femmes song. And then Ben Stiller is there too, his character Michael, and then like they're on the street together. So what do I think happens at the end of the movie? Well, I don't know, because here's the problem. The Troy character, Ethan Hawke, is like, I'm this musician, man, and I don't give a fuck, man, and that's just my life. And he's like the great Buddha, you know? And he doesn't want to be like controlled or tied down or whatever, but he's in love with Winona Ryder's character. And then the Michael character is in love with her too, but in a totally different way. And the whole reason that everything has gone sour with him is because the documentary that she had been shooting of their lives, he sold to a network and they kind of fucking ruined it. And does that love and redemption top Ethan Hawke's, like, out of nowhere thing? I think she ends up with Ethan Hawke. That's my guess. Or, like,
I look so pleased. Do you want her to tell you, or do you want to wait? Bless you. Wait and find out.
I want to wait and find out.
Okay.
Until next time we'll on Foodies Watching Movies.
Time. Okay.
That's that can be our cliffhanger segment. So before we close it up, I guess I have to do all the different network plugs and stuff. Obviously, folks, thank you so much for listening to Foodies Watching Movies. You can find us on all sorts of different podcasting services. Subscribe to Journey into Comics Network on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Radio, Google Play Music, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Downcast. There's like fucking 20 million different ways to listen to podcasts, folks. It's not that hard to find us. Also, you can check Foodies Watching Movies out on all of our different social media sites. You can get us at Foodies Watching Movies on Facebook, Foodies Watching Movies on Instagram, and Film Foodies on Twitter. As always, folks, if you love our content, you love what we're doing, throw a couple bucks to our Patreon, get exclusive content or early access or both. Might be adding some different tiers for Foodies Watching Movies here in the near future so people can really get that extra bite of Foodies, if you know what I'm saying. Thank you guys so much for joining me this week. We did not mention, and I would be remiss without doing it, the absence of Poor Boy.
Yeah, AP couldn't make it today, but he'll be back next time.
And he sends his love. He watched Fight Club, guys. So we're going to be able to talk about that next time. But Reality Bites, by the way, like 3.75 pizza slices. It's almost a 4, but I don't know the ending, so I can't tell you if it's a solid 4 or not.
The rating will...
is it going to plummet or something?
No, rating will come in time.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. And I want to definitely rewatch it and make sure I didn't miss any of the important dialogue.
My Sharona scene is my favorite scene of the whole movie when they're dancing to My Sharona in the gas station. Yeah.
That's the quintessential 90s
scene. I know.
That's the scene if you want to reference the 1990s.
Yeah.
It would be that scene.
Yep.
Right there. Reality Bites, folks. 93? 94?
Fuck. When did it come out? Veronica, check.
It's weird because I feel like the case is right there and I could just stand up and look.
Oh my God, Nate.
It's too late. You've already started looking.
1994. I said it. 94.
Awesome. Well, as we said, no AP this week. He will be back soon. Get well with everything, AP, because I know you're listening. Check out all the different shows on the Journey into Comics Network. You can get Journey into Comics, Game Addicts Podcast, Journey into Wrestling, Foodies Watching Movies. That's us. Voices Survival Podcast, Podcastrophe, The Poor Report, and Butt Stuff Podcast is all found right here on JourneyIntocomics.com. Thank you guys so much. As always, for Foodies Watching Movies, this has been episode 2. It's all about that cheese. I'm Nate.
I'm Veronica.
I'm Lauren.
And thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Later.